buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, the air quality is getting, I would say, slightly better. I mean, we really can't complain too much because now they're saying it's over Europe and this smoke from the West Coast is going to go all over the world.
Marginally, slightly, all of those thesaurus synonyms.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a little better. It's the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, the 16th of September, 2020, bringing folks together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Lots to talk about in our quarterly Tucson Air Service Report with Chief Financial Officer Dick Grunzel with me in studio. Dick, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's always a pleasure. And things are looking better for the aviation industry, and especially when you look at Tucson compared to some other markets, which have been pretty dependent on business travel.
Yeah, actually, both business travel and international travel when you look at some of the bigger airports around the country. And Tucson really has been outpacing the recovery that has been seen throughout the country kind of on average. Things tend to peak around the holidays just like usual. But just to give everybody an idea, around Labor Day weekend, travel picked up to still a pretty low number, but around 36% of what the traffic was last year around Labor Day. But here in Tucson, at Tucson International, we saw about 47%, so almost half of the traffic that we had last year around Labor Day. So not counting the holidays, nationally, things seem to be kind of stabilizing at around 30% of last year's level, and here in Tucson about 40%. Still a long ways to go to get back to what anyone would really consider normal at this point.
Well, if you look at, say, the 47%, we're about half of what we were a year ago. And I think a lot of airports would take that in a minute right now.
Yes, they would. The fact that we are a primarily leisure destination, as you mentioned, is really playing into this. When you look at it right now, we're not even in the heart of our busy season for tourism.
Right.
So really with that kind of coming up, starting, November and then going through, about the first half of April. People really postponing those international trips and looking for domestic places to go.
I know that's been the case at our household. We've shifted the whole bucket list off the international into see the national parks. In June, we saw Redwood National Park up in Northern California. A couple of weeks ago, we were at Mount Rainier National Park. October, we're going to do Zion National Park. It's not that bad flying into you've got less than an hour flight for Zion up to Las Vegas and basically a two-hour drive up to Southern Utah.
Exactly.
And look at the prices for like Las Vegas right now.
The fares in most cases are just incredible. My wife and I just booked a flight. Watch for this. They've done this several times now over the last few months. That's it's a BOGO sale. Buy one, get one free.
The two-for-one deal.
Two-for-one deal. So,
whoa.
My wife and I just booked a flight on Alaska up to Spokane in October. $144 round trip each. It is truly unbelievable some of the deals that you can get right now.
Yeah, and hopefully the smoke will have cleared out by that time. October flights at Tucson International Airport. This is always a good comparison. Let's look at October last year out of TUS now compared to what we'll have daily flights.
Yeah, last year in October, we had about 52 flights per day on average. This year, we're looking at 30 per day, approximately. And that's actually up from only 23 in September. And, just to give you an idea, at the low point in April, when the airlines were cutting flights, we were down to about 14 or 15 flights per day. So again, you know, kind of reflecting the passenger numbers that we've been seeing, you know, things are definitely moving up. The airlines are seeing that we're having good passenger numbers here, relatively speaking. So they're responding by adding more flights. And we're going up, as I said, from 23 to 30 from September to October. And again, nationally, when you look at that, there are actually overall are going to be less flights by all the U.S. airlines in October than September. So we continue to do well here.
How about the frequencies? We're getting some better frequencies out of all of the major carriers out of Tucson.
Right. When the pandemic hit, both American and United canceled their flights to Chicago O'Hare. Now Southwest actually continued their flights to Midway. But now they've Southwest has actually, suspended their flights to Midway. But fortunately, American did bring back O'Hare this month in September, three times a week. And then in October, they're going to be increasing that to six times a week. So, every day but one day per week. United also is going to be bringing back their flights to Chicago in October, six times a week as well. And Alaska is, with the fare sales, take a look at them. They're also adding a bunch of flights in October as well. Seattle, most of the time during the year is one flight a day from Tucson to Seattle on Alaska. In October, they're increasing that to three flights a day.
Wow. Alaska's ever been three nonstops out of Tucson to Seattle.
Since I've been here, which has been over 15 years, yeah. I do not ever recall them having three flights a day. And Portland as well, which has typically been a seasonal route. They're bringing that back in October six times a week. And interestingly, in the midst of all that's going on, they're actually bringing that flight back 1 month earlier than they have in past years. Typically, it doesn't start until November. This year, they're bringing it back in October. Continue to have a number of solid flights to Denver, Southwest three times a day to Denver. Frontier continues to fly to Denver one time a week, and they'll be increasing that as we go into the fall. And then United as well is going to be increasing number flights from two a day to three a day to Denver starting in October.
Well, these airline executives see something happening in the country. There's no question about it. They're looking at markets where the business is. And Tucson is one of those business places and this is our prime season coming up, so they're getting ready.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're, they have never been so active in managing their flights, and
they're acting almost on a weekly basis now, managing these flights, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago we thought we had kind of the final schedules for October, and then again, just this last weekend, we saw some additional changes to the flight schedules for October. So they're making these changes really close in, and. As you said, I mean, they're putting the planes where they're seeing the passengers booking the flights. And mm-hmm. Tucson, they're seeing passengers booking flights.
Now, for the consumer, these kind of closer-in changes mean you might want to check weekly if you've got a flight booked, even for October, because these schedule changes are happening quickly.
Yeah, they are. October at this point, probably, is okay.
You're okay right now.
But basically, right. What they're doing, for example, right now, if you look in November and beyond, essentially what the airlines are showing for booking is what their schedule was last year at the same time. For example, let's just take American. This time last year in November, they might have had six or seven flights a day to Dallas. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're flying about four to five. They want to keep all those flights open for booking to encourage people to book those tickets. But when they make their final schedule changes, they might pare it back from those six or seven flights a day to four or five, and they will just automatically rebook you on whatever the next closest flight is. So you really do have to pay attention You're going to be able to get where you want to go, but it might not be exactly the same flights that you originally booked.
Yeah, American is aggressively going after their frequent flyers, too, with deals. This has never happened before. I've been a member, my wife and I have been members of the American Frequent Flyer Program, I believe 1984, Dick. I get this email, Mr. Buckmaster, please call such and such at American Airlines. I mean, I've never, you know, what is this about? I call, normally you'd think, oh, I'm going to put on hold. The person answers the phone, right? Oh, Mr. Buckmaster, we see you have X amount of frequent flyer miles. If you were to do such and such, we're going to make this very easy for you. We're going to give you extra miles. They are aggressively courting folks.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, probably the best indication of that was, you know, what happened a few weeks ago with elimination of change fees.
Yes, that was huge.
You know, now, of course, Southwest has never had change fees, which is great. But United, American, and Delta have all had, you know, pretty hefty change fees, usually like $200 in addition to whatever a fare difference would be for changing a flight. So United kind of started that party and eliminated change fees on domestic flights. American came next and kind of went one better because they also eliminated change fees on what they call short-haul international flights. So that's Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean. And then Delta followed that shortly after with eliminating the change fees on domestic flights. So the time has returned where they're fighting for customers and, you know, finally kind of, you know, going back and doing things that are good for passengers as opposed to, you know, what, you know, most people view as customer unfriendly practices and policies that they followed over the last few years.
All right, we're going to pause right here. It's our Tucson Air Service Quarterly Report with Dick Grunzel. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back with Mr. Grunzel right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our quarterly air service report with Dick Runzel, the Chief Financial Officer at Tucson International Airport and the Tucson Airport Authority. Tucson Airport Authority, their umbrella, of course, includes not only the Tucson International Airport, but Ryan Field as well. What happens during all these hard times with the pandemic with Ryan Field? How is that going?
To be honest, I mean, I don't think we've seen a whole lot of change at Ryan Airfield.
I was wondering, it's probably been business as usual.
Yeah, I mean, those are typically, you know, just, you know, small planes and, you know, single pilots. So, you know, it's pretty much been business as usual at Ryan Airfield.
How are things going with the TUS CARES program? This is a really a complete makeover. The airport's always been, I think, done pretty well with the cleaning. I think one year we were like the best restrooms of any airport in the country. So, I mean, cleaning has always been a priority, but now it's a top priority.
Yeah, it has. I mean, we've always concentrated on this and have always received very high customer service marks when we do surveys. But, you know, the decision that people have to make for coming back and traveling again is something that we want to make as easy for people as possible and make sure that, you know, our facility in every way is as safe and comfortable for people as it can be when they decide they're ready to travel again. So, you know, we've done a lot of things. You know, number one, of course, face coverings over the nose and mouth are required for everyone coming into the terminal, the rental car facilities, and our parking facilities. You'll see plexiglass shields at all of the ticket counters, gate counters, rental car counters, all of those places where you're interacting with people. TSA has installed those also at the checkpoints. You'll also see, you know, physical distancing markers throughout the facility to make sure people are keeping that 6-foot distance. More frequent and extensive cleaning of restrooms. We have the same electrostatic, you know, fogging machines that, you know, the airlines have you know, talked about. We use those in our restrooms nightly and in other high traffic areas. Hand sanitizer stations, you'll see them everywhere throughout the terminal. For people who are parking in the economy parking lot, we're limiting the capacity on the shuttles going back and forth between the terminal and the lot. In cleaning the shuttles after each trip, we've installed UV light sanitizing equipment on all of our escalator handrails. That happens underneath the floor, so you don't actually see that happening, but those are all installed. And we're right in the process right now of also making our elevators touch-free by installing buttons that will be activated by your toes.
Really?
You know, right by the floor. You just touch the button with your foot, both outside to call the elevator as well as inside to indicate which floor you want to go to. So, you know, it's, you know, our restaurants actually, too, another thing, at the airport have been inspected by Pima County and have passed their protocols that that they have put in place for other restaurants around town that say they're, you know, COVID ready So that we're taking all of the precautions to protect everyone's health and safety.
And the airlines themselves are going to extraordinary lengths to clean the aircraft. Each seems to have their own protocols. I think Delta teamed up with Lysol for their cleaning. Alaska uses some kind of a fogging. I think several of the airlines are using that fogging device, that they're doing that at least when the plane overnights.
Right.
So they're getting all of the aircraft clean. And Jeff Lattice, who appears on this program fairly regularly, Jeff flies for JetBlue, and he's talked about on the program the whole air filtering system on aircraft. We had Jeff on a month or so ago, and he really went into detail about how that works. And basically, you're getting fresh air from the outside recycled through the aircraft every 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah, and those are the HEPA filters, which nobody remembers what the acronym means, but those are the highest rated filters for filtering out things like the COVID virus. So the air recirculation on aircraft really let's face it. I mean, it's probably better than going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And all the airlines these days, of course, are requiring face coverings to travel on the plane. They're not going to let you on the plane unless you have one. And if you take it off when you're on the plane, you're going to be in for trouble.
Yeah, they will put you, if you refuse to go by that, you will go on a no-fly list with that particular airline.
Absolutely, you will.
So let's talk about the seating. Delta has announced, I guess, they're going to continue with limited seating into the new year.
Yeah, the Delta has kind of been out in front on this issue. They've committed to keeping middle seats free through at least January 6th of 2021. So another, quite a few months here. Southwest and Alaska have committed to essentially keeping that middle seat free through the end of October. American and United haven't made this commitment, but both of them will notify you if a flight that you have booked is getting up to, I think, in somewhere in the range of 70 to 75% capacity, and they will allow you to rebook if you're not comfortable on flying a plane that's, that full. They'll allow you to rebook to a different flight to get to your destination on a flight that's not quite that full.
What are you hearing about these changes? The public has, I think there's a certain percentage of the public, Dick, who just are not going to leave their home for whatever reason. I don't know if it's 20, 25%. Some people, they haven't left their home since the middle of March.
Right.
But I think that people that want to get away are seeing that these extraordinary lengths that this industry is taking really are making you as safe as if you were to go out to the grocery store.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Again, it's a very personal decision. I think that is the message, is for people who feel comfortable traveling. Flights are available. They're generally not very full right now. And, I've flown, you've flown.
Mm-hmm.
I feel totally comfortable. The planes have never been as clean as they are. The airports have never been as clean as they are right now. So for people who are comfortable, I think it's a great time to travel.
And the airfares, as we've talked about, are incredibly low right now. Doing away with the change fees, the airlines are going to lose a lot of money. And right now, you wonder what the situation will be going forward with the airfares. But I think as long as there is this, it's the old supply and demand. Now is your ideal time to lock in good airfares. And you can lock in airfares. Schedules are posted up to 11 months in advance.
That's exactly right. I mean, I agree with you. There's very little risk in booking travel right now since the airlines, the major airlines anyway, have eliminated the change fees. And Right. I mean, so if you book a flight for a month from now and for some reason, you know, you don't feel comfortable at that time, you really haven't lost anything. If the airline has changed the schedule, you probably are due a refund. But if they haven't changed the schedule and you just decide, you can just take that credit and use it in the future whenever you're ready to travel.
All right, Dick, where can people find out more? On your website?
FlyTucson.com. All the information about flights, about what we're doing at the airport to make people feel safe and comfortable.
Well, thank you very much, Dick. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
I can tell you will feel very comfortable going out to Green Things on their 13-acre site. Green Things is the place to go for all of your planting, for your gardening. And I know I like to garden, and now the weather, Dick, is finally changing a little bit. The mornings have been pretty nice, haven't they, Dick?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievably nice.
Yeah, so it's
everything's relative.
It is. So it's a good time to think about putting some fall color in the garden. Check out Green Things. They're at 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Also, they have Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. And they have five shops on that 13-acre site at Green Things. Their website is ZocaloVillage.com. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Arizona Water Quarterly, what's going on with the CAP? That's next. Karen Caesar in the house, ready to do it right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a quarter here on the program, we focus on Arizona's most important resource, and that is water. The Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining me in studio, Karen Caesar is here, a member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. How are you, Karen?
Bill, I'm great. I'm so glad to be here.
You know, I'm kind of a student of the Central Arizona Project, and I guess I should be happy because there's an actual CAP university starting up.
Well, I think you should look at being one of our in our inaugural
enrollee
class,
right?
An enrollee in the inaugural class. Bill, we are launching a new program called CAP University, or CAPU for short. And this is a program for members of the community like you or your listeners who may be interested in learning more about the CAP.
Well, people are very curious about the CAP. They wonder, you know, how big is it? When was it all put together? And this is an opportunity to learn about that.
No, absolutely. And, you know, this will be launched virtually, so anybody can attend from wherever you are. But it's going to have fast-paced content, and just like you said, it's an opportunity. A lot of people ask me a lot of questions and wonder about this, and, you know, for starters, we have a large canal. It's 336 miles long that brings water across the state to more than 80% of our population here in Arizona, and part of CAPU will start with, you know, exploring the history of how it was built, and really, it's an engineering marvel and all the parts and pieces that make it work.
How about those worried about tuition?
Oh, well, you know, it's going to be really expensive. No. You know, this is a great thing. It's completely free. And especially now because it's virtual, I'm going to guess attendance is unlimited. So, but, you know, sign up now. There'll be registration opening in October. And all you have to do is go to the CAP website and cap-az.com. And you can sign up, like I said, starting in a couple weeks.
We've talked on the program about the drought contingency plan. How's that going, Karen?
Well, it's going really well. We've been talking about this, and you may recall last year, the Lower Colorado River Basin was operating under what we call Tier Zero. And this new threshold was put in place by the Bureau of Reclamation that comes into play when Lake Mead reaches an elevation between 1090 and 1075. That's feet above sea level. That's our yardstick to measure the lake. And so recently, the Bureau issued their 24-month study, which I've talked about. They don't do it every 24 months. They issue it monthly. But the 24-month study that comes out in August really projects the elevations at the end of the year in Lake Mead, and that determines what tier we'll be in next year. So it was official as of August. We will be in Tier Zero again for 2021.
So were there reductions involved here?
Well, you know, reductions that we have or that we're going to have are equal to the same reductions we've been doing for about 5 years now. And that's leaving about 192,000 acre feet of water in the lake, or about 12% of our CAP supply. So we're going to continue under that same operational policy, which we have done successfully for many years. And, you know, just with the DCP, we will take it one step at a time, but we'll see what happens the following year. But for right now, those reductions are gonna be fine, and they're gonna keep us basically operating at the same level that we've been at.
And agriculture also is gonna take a reduction.
Yeah, one of the things that happens when we do get this reduction is CAP agriculture will probably get reduced by about 15% as well. But remember, the whole purpose of the drought contingency plan was to be a bridge between what we call the 2007 or 2007 guidelines and the new reconsultation, which is going to take effect in 2026. So, you know, all the hard work we've been doing in Arizona to put the DCP in place and save all this water and leave it in the lake has really prevented us from having deeper shortages here in Arizona.
When people hear the word, Karen Caesar, reduction, they get concerned.
Well, right. And that's always, you know, that's always something that people want to, you know, pay attention to, especially when it comes to our water supply. But again, the drought contingency plan was put in place to help bridge that gap. And so the reductions now are, like I said, they are what we've been doing voluntarily for several years and then as part of the DCP. So it's really, you know, the hard work of Arizona is to keep us from getting into deeper shortages, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
What's next after the DCP? What's the next piece?
Well, so again, the DCP was a bridge between an existing set of guidelines and what comes next. And the next is a reconsultation that is due to be completed by the end of 2026. Now, that's 6 years away. It seems like a long way away, but not in water planning. So by then, the U.S. Secretary of the Interior, has to develop new guidelines for the long-term management of the Colorado River system. And so what's happening now in Arizona is we're just beginning the process to figure out what we want to do in Arizona, and the process is going to take many years and require lots of discussion, negotiation, and coordination, not only within Arizona, but among the other basin states.
Yeah, and Arizona is just one of the states with a seat at the table here.
Absolutely. When we talk about the Colorado River, and it bears, you know, reminding everybody, there are seven basin states that were divided into the upper basin and the lower basin. So Arizona is one of the lower basin states. And so we have to figure out what we're doing here in Arizona before we can kind of turn to the larger group and start working with them as well on what these new set of guidelines are going to involve.
Are these open to the public, these meetings?
Yes, absolutely. The reconsultation, Arizona Reconsultation Committee, it's the same group of people that were involved in the DCP. So this group is used to working together and coming to these, consensus positions on water, are going to meet. In fact, we have a meeting tomorrow. So we're starting to meet. This will be our second meeting. You can watch, your listeners can watch on the CAP website, which again is cap-az.com. We begin at 10 a.m. and I am one of the ARC committee members, so I will be there virtually, and we're just starting this long process again. So I appreciate everybody tuning in and seeing what's going on.
My fine engineer producer Tom Fairbanks had a question about the water table. How does that fit in? Is the Lake Mead more of a crucial factor? It's a pretty good question.
Oh, it's a great question, and it's one specifically important to Tucson. Our water table here is doing better in large part because we have the CAP. Once the CAP got here and came here, Tucson pivoted from relying solely on our groundwater and drawing down the groundwater table to having a surface renewable water supply. So they are related in the fact that the more surface supply we bring in and use here in Tucson, the better it is for our water table because we're not drawing down that groundwater.
Yeah, we were one of the cities in the country, one of the few cities that was totally dependent on groundwater at one time.
Right, yeah. And people didn't realize that because it was a series of wells and people got their water. And
right.
until the CAP arrived, that was how we were getting our water. And now it's in Tucson Water being the largest water provider here in the Tucson area. They take their CAP allocation and they recharge it out in Avra Valley. And then that water goes into the aquifer and then is pulled back out, treated to the standards it needs to be treated to, and then delivered. So like I said, it is a surface water source that most of us are receiving in our homes now, and that's really helping the groundwater table.
Now, you serve on a four-year term, or is it 6 years?
Well, we serve all the mm-hmm. CAWCD board members serve 6-year terms.
Six.
The board is, there's 15 of us
15,
on the board.
Okay.
10 from Maricopa County, 1 from Pinal County, and 4 from Pima County.
Mm-hmm.
And the terms are staggered, so mm-hmm. they're long terms, but every 2 years, 5 seats are up for election.
And you were up for election this time.
Well, I was going to be up for election. here's the breaking news, and this is very new news. The 4 Pima County seats were going to be on the November general ballot. Election ballot mm-hmm. this year. But as it happened, there were only 4 qualified candidates that turned in their paperwork for the 4 seats. So it made it essentially an uncontested election. With that, we have been able to go to the Board of Supervisors, and they just approved last week that they're essentially canceling the election and deeming us all elected for a new 6-year term.
So well, that congratulations.
That, yeah,
there
thank you.
Go.
Yeah,
that includes yourself.
That includes myself, Pat Jacobs, and Mark Taylor, current board members that have been reelected. And we are going to be welcoming Marie Pairthree as a new board member. And Marie is going to be replacing outgoing board member Dr. Sharon Megdal, who's been serving on the CAP board for 12 years. And we're going to miss her expertise, but we are welcoming Marie to join us as one of our colleagues. And also reminded, we don't do this for any pay. We serve 6 years unpaid, and I'll do it because we really care about water in this community. So
and you'll be sworn in soon, I guess.
Sworn in December, and my next 6-year term will begin on January 1st, 2021.
Perfect. Congratulations,
yeah,
Karen.
Thank you.
So things continue to be virtual.
We are meeting virtually now still. All of our meetings are can be viewed live streamed on our website. That's committee meetings, board meetings. We are even supporting the architectural or the ARC, the Arizona Reconsultation Committee at CAP headquarters because we have the technology to do so. So we're doing, you know, we're busy and doing all the work of the CAP, just not all sitting in the same room, which I really hope we get to do shortly after the first of the year.
Karen Caesar, a pleasure, and once again, congratulations.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our Your Vote, Your Voice 2020 candidate series coming up next with candidate Steve Diamond.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. When you start, you can start your planning now for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson, New Mexico. Hopefully, we'll be once again welcoming out-of-state visitors. We're hoping that day is just around the corner. In the meantime, go to southwestnewmexico.org for ideas on things to do, and there's so many hiking opportunities in the Gila National Wilderness, and also suggestions of great places to stay. We continue now with our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series. All of our interviews from our three local talk shows here that we do during the week are archived at kvoi.com. We welcome now Democrat Steve Diamond, who hopes to be a Pima County supervisor. Steve Diamond is running against Steve Christie, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Tell me a little bit about the campaign. Why are you challenging Mr. Christie?
Well, I think Mr. Christie doesn't represent the values of Pima County at large as well as might be the case. I think he represents more special interests and business interests, and that I intend to represent all the people of Pima County.
How can this be a better county if you are elected, Steve? What's on your agenda to make this a better place to live?
Well, for one thing, all the projects that we might talk about that would make this county a better place require money to be spent in investing in the county itself, in the county infrastructure, in various county programs. And I have a number of programs that I would like to be able to invest in. One of them is universal pre-K, also known as early childhood education. Others are environmental programs and healthcare programs. However, my economic program differs from everyone else's that I've heard in that I have a way that I think we can raise tax revenues without raising tax rates. And the voters have been very resistant to raising tax rates for understandable reasons. People are suffering economically in this recession, which has largely been caused by the pandemic and how it's been handled. And my plan would cause the county and other large institutional spenders to invest more of their money in this area, to stop spending so much in acquiring goods and services from companies headquartered outside Pima County, and begin spending more of it right here in our local communities, so that the dollars would circulate and recirculate, raising all ships, raising the economic level for everyone in the community and supporting small and medium local businesses.
You have been an activist for workers' rights and union rights. Tell us a little bit about your plan if elected. How can you translate that to the Pima County Board of Supervisors?
Workers' rights and labor rights are community values, and they're based on community values and on family values. And I think that everyone shares those values. One way that I can help to translate that into the operations of the county is by working with the county administration and with the union that represents the county employees, AFSCME. I have their endorsement, and I've been talking with them, and they know that I intend to be an advocate for workers' rights, specifically for county employees. And then that can get translated into a larger public sphere by advocating for workplace safety regulations and other related regulations that would help all employees in the county.
You've talked on your campaign literature, I have it in front of me, about a strong, unified Pima County government. What do you have in mind there?
Well, there's been a lot of divisiveness and argumentation among the current board. And to some extent, that is to be expected when there are two political parties represented. And I'm not necessarily advocating that everyone on the board should be from the same party or in the same place. I think a diversity of opinions is important, but I do advocate for more collaborative and work among the members of the board and for crossing party lines to find real solutions to the problems. Also, I think that the board needs to take a more active role than they always have in setting policy for the county and not simply letting the county administration bureaucracy set the policy and have the board then discuss it and say yes or no. The board needs to be more proactive in that regard. So I advocate a collaborative approach that includes members of the board, includes the administration, and includes the community, the people of Pima County.
Tell our listeners about yourself, Steve. What's your background, Steve Diamond?
My background professionally is in information technology. For 35 years, I was everything from a computer programmer to a software architect, software manager, and chief information officer. And, you know, in that role, many people may not be familiar with what a software architect or a chief information officer does. But let me tell you, it's the main requirement of those kinds of jobs is to be able to understand all the intricacies of an large and complicated organization and how all the moving parts fit together while also having an overview of the whole. So I feel like that background and that training have equipped me very well to help to manage a large organization such as Pima County.
We have 1 minute. Why don't you go ahead and give your campaign pitch to the voters and listeners?
I'd be happy to, thanks. I'm Steve Diamond, and I'm running to be the first Democrat ever to represent District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And if elected, I promise to represent all the people of Pima County, not just a privileged few, not just entrenched special interests. My vote will not be paid for and will not be dictated by ideology. I will seek practical, fact-based solutions and will work actively to make our community the best version of itself. I intend that all voices be heard equally. I stand for inclusiveness and for unity, and I ask for the voters' support. Thanks, Bill.
And your website, Steve Diamond?
VoteSteveDiamond.com.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Steve Diamond, running for Pima County Supervisor. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my fine engineer-producer, Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, we managed to put a lot of content in a one-hour program. We do it every day, Monday through Friday, beginning at 12:04 here on 10:30, The Voice, your trusted source for local news and talk. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Property Management and Real Estate in the Green Things, Socolow Village Studios. Have a great afternoon.